Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 26th through July 6th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Off the ball. GAA.
Wow. Oh, the Gaelic is back, Steve-O. It's certainly back. Tommy's loving it there, isn't he?
Oh, man, fire, Thomas.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Steve-O going on his own. He gets the try.
The Red 78.
We're both Munster people.
Drury gets over the line. Try for Munster.
Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
Hello and welcome to the Red 78. Rory O'Hagan from Off the Ball, joined by Munster legends Alan Quinlan and Fiona Hayes for what is going to be a tough podcast for us to record after Munster's massively disappointing defeat. I think that's understating it a bit, to Cast in the Champions Cup. We look at that game, where Munster went wrong, where they go from here, and all in between as well. That's to come on this episode of the Red 78. Quinny, Hayes, how are you guys?
Good, not great, Rory, but good. We thought last week was the real down point, and then we've got to go through it again this week after, I suppose, that beating in Thomond Park is all you can call it. But look, there were some glimpses of hope, but frustrating game to watch, really, really frustrating.
Yeah, I think we're all still stunned after Saturday night in Thomond Park. Quinny, how are you, sir?
Oh, grand, Rory, yeah. It was, as Fiona said, disappointing. I think if you were a Leinster United fan, it was a good weekend. It wasn't, if you're a Liverpool Munster fan, it wasn't great.
Right.
Maybe if you were a Dingle fan on Sunday, or a Ballygunner fan, so that's sport, isn't it? It's the weekend of, there was great sport on at the weekend. I was at the game in Limerick and, obviously a very somber mood at the end, and probably, Did anyone see that coming? A lot of talk about bonus points, and I mentioned the psychology of that last week. Mm. It's, we've been in that situation before, needing bonus points, and you have to talk about it and address the issue. And as it turned out, they didn't need a bonus point; they needed just a win. And so there was a lot of stuff went on in the game, but ultimately, I think they got what they deserved. Whether that sounds harsh or not, I think. When you win one game out of four, it's not down to luck, it's down to execution and performance. And that's sport and that's life. And they've got to dust themselves down now and process this. And they're in the Challenge Cup, I think. So they've got to address that in a few months. But first and foremost, go back to the URC and start trying to win games and get a bit of momentum going again.
Certainly do, and they've got to pick it up for that game in Cork on Friday. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But look, obviously massive disappointment in Thomond Park at the full-time whistle on Saturday. That disappointment has carried on through the week, and that's carried on to the messages that we've got into the show, Fiona Hayes.
Yeah, and thanks again. We got a lot of comments in this week. Probably some too negative that we won't read out. But we'll go through a few there, and cheers for writing them in. We'll start with Jerry Maloney said, Saturday's result has to be a turning point. Go to the youth, as you said. Macmillan was pissed off, and rightly so. Questions have to be asked of Leamy and Prendergast. Great servants to the province, but discipline and defence in particular, very poor. Paul O'Sullivan, Saturday was a tough kick to the stomach, but the Challenge Cup brings us a chance of winning some silverware this season. If they cut out the stupid, needless penalties, it will be great to see the academy guys now while some guys are away for the Six Nations. Ash McCurra, a conversation needs to be had about the CEO. Jobs for the boys, ticket prices, Limerick now a hurling county, and the conditions of schools rugby there, and how rugby killed the golden goose in 2008. And Toby Burke, is there not a deep malaise within Munster rugby? Years of new managers, new transitions, and so many talented players failing to kick on. It's been a bleep show for 15 years. If Munster rugby was a hospital or school, it would be in special measures. And last, we'll go with Tommy Kinsella. The constant theme of running down the clock on kicks needs to be addressed. We need a 10 with a distance on his kicks and move Crowley to full back. We need variations in attack. Prendergast's system hasn't worked.
So a lot of comments in there, and a lot of it kind of hinting at, I suppose, the underlying issues with Munster, Alan Quinlan. But I suppose let's talk about that game first as a whole and Munster's performance and like the stunned, eerie silence. Like I was only watching it on TV, but the stunned silence that greeted the full-time whistle was something else, Quinny. Was there kind of an anger at the full-time whistle, or was it just kind of what the hell
I think,
happened?
I think a frustration and a shock, probably. Just going back to some of the comments, you probably should have. I know some of them are probably emotionally fired up. The whole point of this podcast from the start was to try and not have just a sole representative of both Fiona and I as ex-players talking about critiquing or talking positively about matches. It's really to kind of get the fans' view and their voice as well. And from their point of view, look, I can understand it's frustrating, and the frustration is there because I think if you take this the start of the season as a whole, and even the announcement of Clayton McMillan, it creates optimism when someone new is coming in and people are hopeful that things can turn around and you can get a that consistency that he's talked a lot about. And the start was good. It was bright. I think there was definitely two games there, the second Cardiff game in Thomond Park and the Edinburgh game in Cork, that could easily have gone the other way. The high point was that performance in Leinster. Let's not be fooled. Leinster, as good as Munster were, and they brought a brilliant performance of intensity and defensive work and the way they attacked and how brave they were, the way they played that day. They caught Leinster off guard, which was great, and you'll always take it. But I'm just talking about a true reflection of where the team is at. The first half against the Stormers, I thought Munster were outstanding. They scored three tries. It looked like that they were going to kick on and get a bonus point win against an exceptionally strong Stormers side. And the second half then just completely flipped around and they end up losing. Just to summarize the season, really, that's what I'm trying to do so far. And they go to Ospreys then. I think the Bath game in Europe was a big low point. Another big low point was as that Ulster game a couple of weeks back. They get a good away win in the Ospreys. The Leinster performance in Thomond Park was really good. They could have won that game. So it's been patchy. I think it's been patchy. There's been some really good moments. I think there's been a lot of change. And we had Clayton on here a few weeks ago. And I fully get what he had to try and do is maneuver the squad, make lots of changes, give guys opportunities. And it's affected maybe that consistency. And lots of teams are making those changes as well. But quality-wise, I think we're still a level below. Like, let's not kid ourselves. Unless we get a good run in the knockout stages at home, Munster getting to a quarter final was probably their limit. They're not a championship winning side as regards in Europe. Like you look at Bordeaux, Toulouse, Leinster, Glasgow now are in that mix. Northampton, there's five or six teams at a very high level. So no one expects Munster to be at that level, but I think for the players that are there, do they need more quality? Absolutely, to get to that next level. Are the players consistently playing well enough? No. And they have got to look at that. Do we look confused in the type of game we're playing? Yes, I think there's no area of the game that we can dominate, whether that be set piece, breakdown, defense, kicking game. There's little patches in every area that some weeks are good, some weeks are bad. But if you're an opposing team, you're not looking at Munster going, well, they're going to kill you with their line speed because they're so good defensively and they get off the line, or they're going to kill us at scrum or kill us in the line out, or their kicking game is exceptional. I think all facets of their game Yes, they can get up to a good level when they get those good performances that I mentioned, but they're very inconsistent. We're talking about the line out a lot this season, and we had a couple of weeks where the percentages were good. And go to the games that Munster actually played well and won, and those areas and that area was good. The scrum has been much better in the last couple of weeks, but I think it should be a given at this stage that we're kind of hopeful that we can get a good line out and a good scrum, and we're lacking some strength and depth. And even in that area of, in the game at the weekend, the line out, well, we want to attack and we want to, you know, keep try and keep some continuity. And that was probably the last couple of seasons when Munster had some brilliant performances. And, you know, if you go to 2023 when they won the league, the year after they went in a run post-Christmas of 10 league wins, was it? It was phenomenal. They were caught, beaten by a very good Glasgow side in the semi-final. So there was two seasons there of great optimism. But I think on the evidence of what we've seen now, it's worrying and concerning as to where to next. And there's a feeling that even if we, you know, don't just throw a lot of young fellas in there for the sake of it, but maybe if we have to suffer a bit of pain here and try some guys because the team in general needs a little bit of freshening up. That's happening naturally enough. John Klein is leaving. John Ryan is finishing up. Niall Scannell is finishing up. But we need a little bit of fresh impetus in young players. And I think one of the messages that came through there was, you know, about Limerick and not bringing enough of players through. The players are not there. There's like the whole scenario has changed from when I played, when the stronghold of Munster rugby, you know, was the club scene and Shannon, Young Munsters, Gary Owen, with respect to all the others, but they were the kind of main standard bearers because they were in the top flight competing for All Ireland leagues and you know Carcon and Cork you know you had Sunday as well Dolphin UCC you know Crescent Bows in Limerick so you the club scene was producing players and then the school system was probably producing some players as well so times have changed and that's just the reality and it's how many Limerick players on the Munster team? Is it Craig Casey?
That's it. That starting in most like
You
in the
know,
squad in the last while, yeah.
so is that Munster's fault or is it just the way things have gone? I don't, I can't, you can't blame Munster for that because there's systems in place with development officers in school, there's pro rugby programs right across the board, and it's just probably, you know. It's just the way it's gone, and it hasn't just happened this year. You know, it's happened for a number of years. In the last 2 or 3 years, Munster have lost huge experience in Conor Murray, Keith Earls, Peter O'Mahony, Andrew Conway. There's probably a few more. So it's not all doom and gloom, and but I think where the team finished at the weekend, essentially in Europe, probably I think we're better than that. And that's where the frustration comes in for the fans. I think nobody expects and believes Munster will go out and you know win a European Cup. You saw that performance last year against La Rochelle, sporadic moments, and you know just look at the way Ulster had 2 or 3, 4 years of pain there. Even Richie Murphy's tenure at the start has been very difficult, and now they have a bit of momentum and some young guys. So look, it's very early days with Clayton McMillan here, and all the coaches have to take account for this. And they have to try and figure this out because I think, broadly looking at the way Munster play, I think they seem to be all bells and whistles in all those different areas, and good sometimes, bad other times, as I said, but no real identity to the team. If you're analysing this team, you're not looking at them. You see lots of vulnerability. And I think for Munster to do well and get those performances that are required, you need eights and nines out of 10 right across the board within the team. And at the moment, we're getting probably two, three players who get up to that 8, 9 level. And usually we're giving them credit with the start of the week, last week, this week, didn't want to do one against Ulster. You're kind of going, we're giving a star of the week to someone who makes 20 tackles, or his work rate is massive, or that they've showed loads of passion and pride or whatever. We're not giving it to creativity and brilliance. And too many of the Munster team at the weekend were fours and fives out of 10. And I think, you know, if you have 10 internationals in your squad or 15 internationals, well, obviously it brings more pressure, but it brings more natural quality. So it's incredibly disappointing, because if you go to the week before, they could have won in Toulon. Some game smarts, some discipline, small margins. They could have won a game in Toulon. And, you know, you'd be bouncing into Cass this week, probably with a lot more energy. And the emotional turmoil of that, I don't know if this team can back up a big performance with another big performance. So they showed at the weekend that they were static, they were stale at times. And, you know, if you look at the stats of the game, some of the attack was really good. Munster had 15 line breaks in the game. Like, it is a big number. You know, they had 352 post-contact meters. They had more possession, less territory, which, again, that's an issue. And it's a blatantly obvious one. When you're at home and you have less territory than the opposition, our kicking game is really poor. And it's not an inability to kick. It's poor decision-making at times when there's defenders in front of people. It's kick out of desperation. And I'm sure there's a strategy that every team has, but they're not implementing it. And there's panic kicks. There's two examples. Ben O'Connor gets one the first half before half-time. Marks the ball that was kicked back in over his head. All his team are in front of him. And I'm literally just saying, right, just slow down now. Wait till your team gets back. Kick the ball into touch and just reset. Have a line out. They have a line out in the opposition half or around the halfway line. And he just goes, within a split second, just marks it, gets the free kick, and just thumps the ball up the field. All these forwards and players are now in front of him, and they're scattered everywhere, players trying to get back. And Cass just come back and they pile on the pressure for another 7 or 8 minutes. And you're thinking, it's not a good decision to do what you've just done. And he's a young kid, and again, it's nothing, it's not a personal criticism. It's just, you know, JJ Hanrahan won in the second half. The ball is kicked back into Shane Daly. He passes infield to JJ Hanrahan. Their kick chase was superb. He's forced. He's bouncing a little bit, and then he kicks down to their winger. A poor distance, no accuracy, end-over-end kick. Winger gets it. He puts it up in the air. He runs up, jumps in the air, wins it over Jack Crowley. One ruck later, and a crossfield kick, winning try. You know, they're just making it so difficult for themselves. And it's, Clayton McMillan said that after the game, we score or we do something good and we just come up with a poor play and we get punished. So, you know, I think they made it easy for Cast at times, and they had some obviously individual brilliance with their centre and winger. You know, the power, the explosiveness and the ability, and Jack Goodhue was brilliant as well. So they had a couple of big players, but I think emotionally they sense vulnerability, and Munster gave them opportunities. And so again, it's a long talk. I don't have a magic wand here, a solution. And, you know, I have voiced my concerns. It's nearly 10 years ago since I spoke about, you know, systems and structures and the whole organization. And again, you know, I don't like bringing that up, but I reference it because I had a lot of concerns around then about the structures and the academy and the systems and the recruitment. So once you're in a tough place at the moment, and, you know, there's a bit of a dark cloud now in the sense of that optimism that has been created a little bit is evaporated. But it can quickly be turned around if you start winning matches again, because I do believe that this team are better than and we've seen, I mentioned the glimpses, they're better than what you saw in Ulster, they're better than what we saw against Cass at the weekend, because some positives there, but the kicking game is really poor. Our line-out, again, is a 76% return, which is a bit better than being in the 60s last week, but probably 90% of the lineouts that we won again at the weekend are at the front of the lineout. Craig Casey has a 25, 30 yard pass. The ball is floating in the air. It's a brilliant pass, but Cass could, you know, walk forward and still be right in front of Munster that it's taken so long to get it from there. So, yeah, they have to work hard and try and turn this around. And, you know, it starts next week with the Dragons. And then they're on a difficult run. They're away to Glasgow, home to Zebre. And then they've got to go to South Africa. And there's 7 games left. So they've got to get results. They're 6th in the league. A couple of weeks back or pre-Christmas, they're up near the top. Back to November, they were, you know, if they'd won that Stormers game. So there's a lot of ifs and buts there, but it's not good enough at the moment. It should be better. But there is obvious concerns and you know, the quality of the level you need to get and the recruitment and all that kind of stuff. You know, there's 2 players. Yeah. I don't know what the story is with Tacker Abrahams. Is he finishing up or is he recontracted? John Klein is leaving. But yeah, I think it's very disappointing and frustrating for people because some of that optimism that was there has kind of evaporated. So I would say there's a mixture of poor performances and then coaching issues. So they've got to try and figure this out and review it and have a look at very close look and see if they can get back on track.
Well, that is it for part one of the Red 78. To listen to our full episode where we'll talk more about that Cass game, we'll look ahead to the visit of the Dragons to Cork on Friday, and we'll talk about Clayton McMillan being linked with the New Zealand job. You can become an Off The Ball member. Check out offtheball.com/join for all the details. You can become a member on the Go Loud app, Apple, Spotify or YouTube for $9.99 a month.
The Red 78. Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
I'd like to think I know a lot.